Alvin Victor Coleman, 88, of Collinsville, Illinois, was born November 7, 1929, in Royal, Iowa. He died Sunday, October 7, 2018, in Collinsville, Illinois. Reverend Coleman served as Lord in many ways. His first call was to St. Paul Lutheran Church in West Frankfort, Illinois, where he served from 1954 to 1959. He received a call to start a new mission congregation in Collinsville, Illinois, where he became the founding pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in 1959, serving there for 19 years. During this time, he was elected second vice president of the Southern Illinois District in 1970 and first vice president of the district in 1974. In 1976, he became the district president until 1994, at which time he retired. He also served on various boards and committees in the district and synod. After his retirement in 1994, Reverend Coleman became part-time minister for Jerusalem Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks to Reverend Coleman's dedication and guidance, the congregation is still in existence. He was very diligent in making hospital and shut-in calls, visiting and calling members on their birthdays and anniversaries, attending the Dorcas Society meetings, voters' meetings, as well as other congregational meetings. Reverend Coleman enjoyed his retirement spending time with his children and grandchildren, enjoyed all sports, and was an avid Cardinals fan. Alvin was preceded in death by his wife, Jacqueline, and his parents, Victor and Elda, née Schneider, Coleman. Surviving are his sisters, Margaret Stripling and Carmen Nielsen of Luverne, Iowa, and his children, Reverend Dr. Victor and Angela Coleman of Plano, Texas, Sue Carney of Collinsville, Illinois, Dr. Kenneth and Sherry Coleman of Collinsville, Illinois, Richard Coleman of Collinsville, Illinois, and David Coleman of Collinsville, Illinois. Grandchildren, Jonathan Coleman, Kristen and Morgan Puchek, Jacqueline and Alan Wubbles, Madeline Carney, Alexandra Carney, Caitlin Coleman, Brian Coleman, great-grandchildren Jackson and Calvin Puchek. Following the committal service, everyone is invited to Good Shepherd for a luncheon that will be served in the lower level. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God's word teaches us that all people are dust, and to the dust we must return. But God's word also teaches that he has put eternity in our hearts. Death and the grave are not the end of this life. Thus the apostle wrote, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Romans 6. Please speak responsively with me, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Please be seated for the first hymn. Old Testament reading is from Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. A reading from St. John, the 11th chapter. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
seated. Today we remember a great Christian man. Today we remember a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, a brother, a relative, a friend, a fellow member of this Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. As I go through some various scripture passages and share some thoughts today, I hope each of you will think about the way God has led my dad to touch your lives. Because every single one of us are different people because God brought my dad into our lives. Dad loved a lot of things. He loved golf. Many of you play golf with him. He loved the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. But you know, most of all, he loved people. He loved you. You were most important in his life. The last time I got to see my father in person was over the summer. Because my wife Angie and I, every year, we come in the summer, around 4th of July, to see my father. We lived on the hospitality of my brother Ken and his wife Sherry. And somewhere along the way, it just always happens that we go to a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game. Last time I talked to Dad was the day before I left for a trip to Israel with 71 of the fellow members of our church. We talked about his trip to Israel many years ago, and he said, "I can't wait to get back and we can talk about our shared experiences." The last words I said was, "I love you, Dad, and I'll see you soon." Who knew that the next time I'd see him would be in heaven? On November the 7th, 1929, God did something special. He gave Alvin Coleman the gift of life here on this earth. God created a special servant who would live a life of significance and who would touch so many people throughout his life. Alvin Coleman lived as a servant. He lived the life of a servant. Let me explain it this way. First, he was a servant to his family. He married a woman named Jackie, in whom he remained faithful to his entire life. He loved her and treated her with honor and respect. They raised 5 children together. I was the oldest. From very on, my father showed his love to me. I remember it was in this church, in a different building, but it was in this church, that when I was 3 years old, after church, I would always meet my dad at the back. And as people walked out, I would shake hands with the people. I think Dad liked that a lot. As I grew up, Dad helped me with work at school, taught me different sports. He went to every basketball and baseball game that I played he could, all the way through my days at seminary in St. Louis. Dad loved sports. He taught me also as well to love the St. Louis Cardinals. I learned from my dad, though, what it really means to be a servant. And I've tried to live my life as a pastor in imitating him. The second child was a girl named Sue. Sue was Dad's going to be his only daughter. And as my brothers would agree, Sue was always treated a lot more special than we were. Let me give you a simple example. We lived in a little home. By the way, the home you can still see today, it was across the street up there. Used to be the parsonage here. Used to be the first church. Hard to believe, but our house turned into a church for worship on Sundays. In that little tiny house, Sue got her own room. We four boys shared another room. Two bunk beds, one chest of four drawers, we each got one drawer, and in the closet, it was about this big, we each got 1 foot. Sue got her own closet. Sue got her own room. We never could understand that. She was Daddy's special little girl. The third child was named Ken, and Dad was always very proud of Ken. Ken was really smart. He excelled in school and became a dentist. Ken picked up some amazing qualities from Dad: generosity and kindness. There's probably no more generous person than Ken. He picked that up from Dad. Dad loved him a lot. One of the things Dad loved doing, because Ken is a great Cardinals sports fan, is they went to many, many baseball games together. The fourth child was named Richard, and the fifth child was named David. Because of Richard and David, God was able to enable Dad to live in his home as he got older. Many times as folks get older, they have to go into another place, but because of David and Richard, Dad got to stay in his home until he passed away. They took care of him. They loved him. Richard called Dad his best friend. Not too many children do that. His best friend. Dad loved Richard and David very much. Dad was also very close to his sisters, Margaret and Carmen. Every chance God had, he went to their celebrations, their family celebrations, wherever they were. He also tried every year to go visit them in their home in Iowa. He loved them a lot. He loved his grandchildren. He barely got to know his great-grandchildren. But as you can see, Dad was a true servant to his family. Dad also, secondly, was a servant to other people. He was always generous and kind. Dad lived his life putting others before himself. Many times he would have to be away from our home because he cared for the people he was serving. That was the main quality of Dad's ministry for so many years. Dad cared for people who were sick. He always was a servant leader in his ministry as a pastor. He always taught the principles of generosity and kindness. And the members of the churches he served always knew they were loved and they were cared for. Thirdly, Dad was a servant of God. God gave his life in ministry to God, as many of you fellow pastors have here. God was passionate about leading as many people as he could to know Jesus as their Savior and to have eternal life in heaven. Dad did this as a pastor. He did this as a district president in our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He did this his entire life. He was a servant. And that leads me right into the special word of God before us today. It's a great story about a fisherman named Peter. Peter was a very strong and passionate man. And one day, Peter went out fishing. He fished all night, and he had an awful performance. He caught nothing, not a single fish. He was depressed as he was cleaning up his nets on the shore, and he saw Jesus in the distance. Jesus was there teaching people, as he always did, about heaven. But there were so many people around that Jesus needed another pulpit to preach from, and so he asked Peter if he could use his boat. Peter agreed. So Jesus got into the boat, and he paddled out a little bit, and he taught the people from the boat. After he finished teaching, he told Peter to go out into the water again to catch some fish. Now, remember, Peter is a strong and passionate man. I could imagine Jesus hearing Peter say to himself, "Jesus, what are you thinking? I know more about fish than you do. There's no fish out there. By the way, I'm the captain of my boat, and I should be the one to decide if I want to go out and try to fish again." Can't you hear Peter saying that? But Peter, he decided to go anyway. It'd be one of the greatest decisions that Peter ever made in his life. It was a great act of faith, wasn't it? Actually, the bigger risk for Peter was not going back out. So Peter gets in his boat and goes out to fish again. And something amazing happened. You know the story. He caught so many fish, he couldn't even put them all in his boat. There were fish all over the place. And then Jesus said something shocking to Peter. Jesus said, "Peter, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men." Jesus wanted Peter to become his disciple and to go out and lead as many people as he could to know Jesus so they could have eternal life in heaven. And Peter was so overwhelmed by all this, he said, "Yes, I'll go." And Peter left everything and he went and followed Jesus the rest of his life. That's what my dad did in his life. He accepted the call of Jesus to become a disciple of Jesus. He gave his life to lead people to know Jesus, who died on a cross and rose from the dead so that people could have forgiveness of their sins and eternal life in heaven. Nothing greater than that. It was the greatest decision my dad would ever make. So let me ask you. Let me say, success in life is a destination, but significance in life is an eternal calling. Say that again. Success in life is a destination, but significance in life is an eternal calling. God makes that challenge to every one of you here today. Will you accept the challenge? Will you go out in the boat and catch some fish for Jesus? Will you use your life to make a difference? None of us knows how long we're going to live here on this earth. My dad lived 88 plus years. None of us knows how long. And that's why it's so important that right now you settle this issue. Settle the issue of life and death. Put your trust in Jesus and use your life to make a difference for him. Do these three things. Realize that you have a God who's calling you to a life of significance. Ask God to forgive you for anything you've done in the past which may have kept you from following him. And then get in the boat. Get in the boat with Jesus and push out into the deep, unknown waters of life. Don't be afraid. God will be with you. And God will give you everything you're looking for. You're going to find joy and happiness in your life that you never imagined. Do you know what real joy is? Joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. That's real joy. Jesus, others, yourself. Keep things in that order. Dad did that in his life, and I encourage you to do that in yours. If there is something the disciple Peter learned many years ago, it was this. See God's face, feel God's presence, and trust in God's love. The best way that each one of you here today can honor the life of my Father, the best thing he would ask you to do today is do just that. See God's face, feel God's presence, and trust in God's love. That's the way to a life of significance. I thank God that he brought a man named Alvin Coleman into my life. And I encourage you today to say a little prayer of thanks to God that he brought Alvin Coleman into your life as well. Live your life as a servant of God. God bless you. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, through Jesus the Messiah, you overcame all death and destruction that sin brought into the world. As Alvin was baptized into Christ, so he was taken from the slavery of sin and given the new life of faith. We thank you for all the fruit of his labors as a son, brother, husband, father, and pastor. We especially thank you for his faithful service to our congregation and to all the congregations of our Southern Illinois district and of our synod. We remember the words of St. John, "Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." O dear Savior, we repeat the words of Job in our hearts, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And with the people in the gospel, "He hath done all things well." Thank you for calling Alvin according to the gospel and making him a child of your kingdom. Help us to find comfort in that we have not lost him, but only sent him before, knowing that on the last day you will raise up all and you will give to all who believe in you immortal bodies of glory. Help us in our lonely times soothe our pain and sorrow with your love and mercy. Dear Lord Jesus, may it please you to grant us the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we might also be led to number our days and to receive the opportunity now for our redemption. As our own trials and troubles, as well as our own death, lie ahead of all of us, help us to believe your promises, live by faith, to join with all the saints on earth in your holy Christian church, and to watch and pray for your coming again. Give us your grace so that by faith we will be ready when you, the bridegroom, come to take us to the wedding feast in heaven. Hear us, Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, world without end. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to ask District President Tim Shar to join me here. We do have a few recognitions that we'd like to share with you at this time.
I'm looking for a certificate that I have.
As President Shar is coming up here, I wanted to read a letter for the family and congregation. This comes from Dr. Kieschnick. Dr. Kieschnick served along with Dr. Coleman as district president for many years, and then also served as a president of our synod. Dear loved ones in Christ, on this day of thanksgiving to God for the life of your dear father, father-in-law, grandfather, brother, and friend in Christ, Terry and I express to you our Christian love and care. Al and his dear wife, Jackie, were friends and mentors to a young Texas district president and his wife during our years together in the LCMS Council of Presidents. They were loved and respected by many. It's never easy to lose a loved one, yet death is a reality of life. The psalmist writes, "The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." King David said, "We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days are on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace." When a loved one dies, we echo the words of Simon Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's where we go at a time of death. We go to Jesus. Vic and Angie, Terry, and I have been blessed to know you for many years. Although we have not had the same privilege with your siblings and the rest of your family, we assure you that you are all in our hearts and prayers. We pray that your sadness at this time of loss will be mitigated by the joy and hope that come from the peace of God that passes all understanding. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, we love you and thank God for you. Warmly and sincerely in Christian love, Jerry Kieschnick.
On behalf of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, President Matthew C. Harrison, and First Vice President Herbert C. Miller, I also bring you greetings today for the life and for the way that Dr. Coleman touched the lives of so many people. His entire ministry was spent here in the Southern Illinois District, and that's, I find, to be quite remarkable. And above all, I think that Al Coleman would love to be known as a pastor. That was something that when I first met him on Vicarage many years ago, he impressed me with that kind of attitude towards people in his parish at Jerusalem in Collinsville at that time. And he continued that passion up until the time when health forbade him from going further in the public ministry. But on behalf of our district and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'd like to read this for you today. It's from Daniel 12, chapter 3. "But those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." The Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in grateful recognition for the lifetime of service to Christ and His Church by the Reverend Dr. Alvin Coleman, now fallen asleep in Jesus, presents this certificate of appreciation to his loved ones with a prayer of thanksgiving to God for his abundant grace and blessing. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will make you faithful over much. Enter with joy to your master." Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And I'll present this to Dr. Coleman. We continue with the recessional hymn.